Hey, this is the Rebel Room Selection Sunday Edition, UNLV fans. The Rebels with a 5 seed. They'll open the tournament Thursday against Cal. I'm Ray Brewer with Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer, talking UNLV basketball in the NCAA tournament. Taylor Byrne, a very favorable seeding for the Rebels. Usually we say we think UNLV will be a 6, so expect them to be a 7, but now they get a solid 5. Great respect for the conference, and hello again, Cal. We'll see you on Thursday.
I think after the last 2 years, maybe that UNLV always gets a 1 seed lower than expected storyline might be out the window. Because last year, I think they got the best available with a 6. This year, I thought the 5 was gone after losing to New Mexico. But I saw one national writer actually tweet. He saw the overall seeding line, so the ranked 1 to 68, and they were actually the second highest 5. Which I find a bit ludicrous, but you'll take it, if you're the Rebels. It's a good seed. It's one of the two closest regionals. The downside beyond the – and it's just a weird matchup because they don't like to do rematches. And so when I saw it revealed, and I probably went to like 4 people and just kind of said, huh? Like, why? And so it's essentially a home game for Cal. I just looked it up. It's about an hour drive down south from Berkeley to HP Pavilion. So that's the immediate drawback. But I also, the flip side of that is I don't think Cal is, the best traveling team. I was over at the Pac-12 and watched their game Thursday night. They had some good support, nothing great though. And the game December 9th, UNLV at Cal, I think had maybe like 8,000 in an 11,000 seat arena. So, nothing overwhelming, so maybe that's not as big of an issue as it seems immediately, but it's just something that it's weird. Like this was a curveball, I think, both in seeding and the matchup for UNLV.
To me, if you're doing the rematch, I understand if you have to, but why didn't they just like switch Cal Akron or
Cal? Apparently, was an 11 seed, and they had to move them to 12. I think just to accommodate somebody else, and so they ended up just putting them closer. They'll move seating like that if it means that you'll get a team closer, because they've heard coaches and administrators, all they tell the selection committee, and AD Jim Livengood backed this up today, location is the number one thing, more than seating. And he actually said regarding UNLV that it was the best available both in seating and location, which I think is hard to argue with. When you throw in the fact that they're playing a Cal team that's so close to home, it kind of negates that location advantage for the Rebels. But it's still, before you look at the opponent side, this was essentially the best-case scenario.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because the other thing that's really goofy is that they are a 12-seed at-large, but you got the 11 seed game that is two of the last 4 in are on the 11 line. Cal is at large at the 12. That doesn't make any sense, but I guess it goes back to the location thing.
Yeah, are you talking about like the first?
Yeah,
first
Middle
four
Tennessee and State and St. Mary's are in the first 4, and they're an 11 seed.
Yeah.
Cal is a 12. I guess that goes back to location. And the only other thought I had about the first thing you said is, how in the world is UNLV the second best 5 seed? I don't know what the committee is looking at. I would take the other 3 5 seeds over UNLV.
I agree.
In a second.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's what Vegas thinks. UNLV, which, of course, yesterday lost in the finals of the Mountain West Conference tournament to a great New Mexico team.
A New Mexico team that deserved better than a 3, by the way.
Deserved better than a 3. UNLV gets the favorable 5 seed, but yet they're favored by just 2.5 points against Cal. Location clearly a factor, as well as their previous meeting where UNLV wins at the buzzer. Quintrell Thomas, his signature moment as a Rebel, muscling for a rebound, grabbing it, scoring the game winner. Yay, everybody's excited. And now here we go, deja vu.
Cal also, nearly should have made the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament, and then, could have had a shot at the end. I was at that game, and they just gave up a 3 at the end of regulation to Utah, and then they were just done after that. But it's a Cal team that's, I think, a lot better, different than the first meeting, but not different personnel-wise the way that UNLV is. Yeah, the Rebels didn't have Kim Birch. That was the game that Mike Moser had his elbow snapped in positions that are not supposed to happen. And so they are a very different team personnel-wise. Cal, I think, just plays a lot better together than they did at that time. And that's really how it should be. That was 3 months ago. If you're a college team, you'd like to think that you're getting better as the year goes. I think that's definitely the case for Cal. And UNLV, too, they just have a lot more options than they did on that day when they had to really gut out a victory.
Yeah, and I think the whole UNLV season kind of took a U-turn at that game because Mosier was a big piece of what they were doing.
I think it delayed everything.
Yeah, it delayed everything, and now you're starting to see Mosier more in the lineup, but back at the four instead of on the wing. And who knows how the season would have played out if he didn't get hurt. Would he be developed into a solid option out there? Questions that we'll never know. But what I do know, Taylor and Case, is that UNLV struggles on the road. No big secret. This is essentially a road game. I don't care if Cal supports its team or not. You're that close to the NCAA tournament. It's the day before spring break. You're going to find a way to get there to cheer for them. I know that it's the best seating for UNLV, the best venue for UNLV, but I just think that if they could get an eraser, that it wouldn't be they would use it.
You think so?
Oh yeah. I just, to me, this is
what would you,
to me, this is a road game. I think there's going to be 150 just, UNLV fans there.
What are you talking about?
How many UNLV fans do you think will be there?
A lot.
Oh, give me a number. A lot.
I don't know how. What, how many? How were many there were last there last year? I don't know.
Okay.
There was a sizable UNLV crowd there last year, and that was Albuquerque, which it's a similar flight. You know, it's San Jose shorter, and there's a lot of people already talking about taking bus rides and putting together like just mini trips like that. Like you could just caravan it from here. It's longer because you got to go down around.
It's like a 10-hour drive from here.
No, it's like six.
I guess you would know better than
down around
from here to San Jose.
Yeah, what is it? Like, I don't
believe nine.
I'm going to look this up while you guys
Steve Marcus, our photographer, is driving to Berkeley to pick his daughter up. He said it's a 9-hour drive in a Prius.
I think it's like nine.
And if it's an hour from Cal to there, it's a 10-hour drive.
You would know better than me, Brewer, but I could think UNLV has at least
the other way. It would subtract an hour.
And 8 hours. Okay.
I would think UNLV would have at least a couple thousand fans there.
I definitely agree.
And I don't think Cal's going to have that many. I don't look at this as – look, it clearly looks bad on the surface that Cal's playing so close to home. I don't disagree with you on that, but I wouldn't classify it as a road game. I think you're not playing in their home building. I think the fans are going to be, maybe Cal is a little bit more, but I don't think people just in Berkeley are going to be on their spring break. Oh, we got to go watch this basketball game down the road in San Jose.
I think it's also, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of the casual fans when you're a 12 seed. Like, because I think people who don't follow it will necessarily, they'll just see that, assume that they're going to lose, and then think that going to the game isn't worth their time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You guys have talked. I agree with you. Both of you guys. You proved me wrong again. I love when we do these three-person shows. And
stand up for yourself.
No, it's fine. You guys make an absolute – I agree.
Do you really think Cal's going to have that many more people than UNLV there?
I initially did, but apparently you guys have talked me off the ledge. And
you guys are right, like 8 hours.
It's going to be a 50-50 matchup.
What's UNLV's like average attendance? It's got to be like more than double Cal's. Does anyone go to Cal games?
Because our venue is double Cal's.
No, it's not. It's
no way.
You know, it's 18 versus 11.
So seven more.
Okay, well, then we'll do percentage-wise. Cal probably fills it, what, 60%? UNLV probably fills it, what, 85%?
Yeah.
This is a much more of a basketball school than Cal is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay. In football, they beat us, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Everybody does.
Okay. I mean, they're not good at football.
Let's not bring down everybody's happiness about March Madness by talking about UNLV football.
Okay.
We'll save that for afterward.
Okay. Taylor covers the team, obviously, UNLV. They've won 7 of 9. They're playing a little better throughout the Fresno loss, of course. Is this a team that's poised to win a game, to win two games in the tournament?
It's so easy to make the case both ways because as much as I talk about how I don't think it's like a huge, huge advantage for Cal playing that close, it is going to be, you know, it's a neutral to roadish environment for UNLV. And when has that ever, you know, gone that well? You know, there's not a great track record there. And you also look at if they were able to win a game, the possible second round matchup, it's 4-seed Syracuse versus 13 Montana. I'm going to go ahead and put Syracuse on in that one. I think we talked back in December, January, just joked about, you know, what kind of upper echelon teams UNLV wouldn't want to see. And now Syracuse is on a bad stretch here, but a team that runs exclusively a zone sounds like a bad matchup to me.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I mean, the only
they're going to let Caton Reinhardt take 20 shots if he wants to.
What if he hits 20 shots?
Well, then they're going to lose, but they're going to take that bet.
Yeah, and I think everybody would take that bet. I know it's easy to say, could UNLV play Syracuse? And you guys know that I love Syracuse, right?
Oh, I forgot about that.
But I think getting past this – well, two things. Getting past Cal won't be easy, but do you sense that if they beat Cal that it would be a success and they wouldn't get their best against Syracuse or Montana?
That they wouldn't try?
No, they would try, but
they already – is this back
this
to
the same argument.
Yeah.
It is the same argument.
According to you, if they would have won yesterday against New Mexico, they wouldn't even care anymore.
That's a good point.
No, it's not. It's a terrible point.
Would they be content, I guess, because they finally got over that hurdle? You know, they've lost so many years in a row. They haven't won.
I think they'd be more likely to play better in the second game if they had already won one. I think what holds them up is that they're on a five-game losing streak. Nobody on this roster besides – did Quintrell win a tournament game with Kansas his freshman year?
You know, yeah.
He's, I think, the only eligible guy that has won an NCAA tournament
game.
He
won two.
Was that the year we covered?
Yeah.
They went to – lost to Michigan State in the Sweet 16?
Michigan State in the Sweet 16, yeah.
Just to let you guys know. If you guys didn't know,
they need to get that. You know, I hate the term "monkey" off their back, but I think they are just so pent up in these first games. They just probably don't necessarily believe, or they don't play like they believe that they're going to win.
Okay,
that's what I saw against Colorado last year.
Let me ask you this: does UNLV need to win this game to show that progress is being made?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for letting me finish. It's fine.
What do you think?
I mean, this is a real tough spot because I think that the simple fact that the roster is more talented now, that progress has been made on that and that on that front. You have to remember this team is without really a real true point guard. Even though Marshall's played phenomenal, a lot better than I ever would have imagined, and I just don't know if it's like when you hire a brand new football coach, you don't expect him to turn around right away. You give him some years to, you know, get his guys in there and make over the roster. Well, Dave, you know, two of his mainstays are still, or three, I mean, a lot of his mainstays are still Lon's guys. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. He gets along great with Lon. Lon did a phenomenal job of putting UNLV back on this map. But I think all things considered, I think progress has been made. Maybe not enough, but I think a small bit of progress has been made.
Oh, there's been progress. They were a 6 seed last year. They're a 5 seed this year. This is the highest seed since 1991.
But if they lose Thursday, is it a failure? A failed season?
No, it's not a failed season. It's a disappointing season.
Okay,
there's no failure with it because you're making progress.
What would make it a successful season?
Win a game.
Just a game.
That's improvement.
Okay.
And certainly fans, you know, certain fans anywhere are going to have way different expectations or
qualifiers
for what constitutes success than I do. But I think if you win a game and play well in the second game, that's huge.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is the Rebel Room, folks. All week, Taylor will be on site in San Jose. Case and I will have coverage here in Vegas. Thanks for supporting us during the NCAA tournament run. Let us know if you have any questions. We're on Twitter at Taylor Byrne, at Case Kiefer, at Ray Brewer 21. This has been the Rebel Room, UNLV off to San Jose to face those Golden Bears.